Grace, mercy, and peace be unto you from God our Father, and from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Today is the second Sunday in Lent, and I had to guess again at my text because I lost my bulletin. But you know that. I always do it. You know our bulletins have three scripture readings to them. One from the Old Testament, another from the Epistle, and the third one from the Gospel. Most of the sermons we hear come from the Gospel, which is understandable, since it is here where Jesus speaks to us and the events of his life are told. Because of this, they are more special than the other scriptures, and we stand when the gospel is read. It is my turn to preach, which is something Pastor Schinkel and I started when he was a pastor. Pastor Schinkel soon after that became sick and died in office. As he got sicker, I began to preach more, and eventually took over all of the preaching. I preach because I'm a graduate of Concordia Theological Seminary in Fort Wayne, Indiana. And I graduated 40 years ago, which is not recently. After graduating, I taught school. I taught school for 40 years, which is something. And then when Pastor Schinkel became sick, I was in a church pastor, and so I started to preach and have been doing it ever since. Now, it's harder to write a sermon than people think. Some think it's like writing a high school book report with a strong pondering on love your neighbor as yourself and do unto other things. In sermons, the preacher emphasizes love. When you extol the virtues of love, as scripture does, you open yourself to criticism from others. I began by hoping for today that I had chosen the correct text. And so I used my instrument at home to discover it. And I don't know if it's the right text or not. But irregardless, I'm going to preach it. In our text, Jesus is traveling through the Holy Land with his disciples preaching the gospel. This is what Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John tell us. But the gospels tell us different things. I mean, not all the gospels follow the same path. They tell different things. And so Jesus is asking his disciples, who do people say that I am? And then he lists it. Well, some say that you are John the Baptist, who was called by God to prepare the way for the Lord. Jesus and his disciples were doing the work of the Lord because of the fall of the world into sin, to deliver the world a Messiah was promised, but he wouldn't come until the New Testament birth of Christ. We just celebrated his coming in December by his birth at Christmas. Then we meet him again in the temple as a 12-year-old boy. Then he disappears only to reappear again when he's 30 years old and calling his disciples. And in our text, Jesus asked his disciples, "Who do people say that I am?" And they answered, "The Messiah." And they didn't give other answers. So he is identified as the Messiah. Now, I sometimes wonder, if I lived at the time of Christ, or you, would you be a willing follower of the Lord? Well, it's easy to follow him now that we know what happened. You know, he suffered and died, he was resurrected, and he lives now forever and forever. But back then, in the Old Testament, we didn't know any of that stuff. We were all moving by faith. But God our Father is a triune God. And of the three persons in the Holy Trinity, the one whose work is the least celebrated is that of the Holy Spirit. The Father creates, the Son redeemed, but what does the Holy Spirit do? The Holy Spirit brings us to faith. Then we preachers get up in the pulpit and preach a sermon from a text that you've all heard before. You know what we're going to say even before we say it. But we say it over and over again, and we'll continue to say it until the eastern sky brightens and Christ comes in glory to judge both the quick and the dead. Now, in our text, Christ asked Peter, "Who do people say that I am?" See, Jesus was omniscient. He knew everything, but he still talked like there are things he doesn't know. Jesus now asked Peter the most important question he will ever be asked. And I remember when I was a student at the old Springfield Seminary, we took course and had textbook, notebooks, and one of my professors was named Henry Eggold. And he would start his sermons by saying, "Boys," he always called us boys. "Boy, it's this way and that way. And here comes the most important thing," he would say, "Boys, Jesus is the Savior. He was promised way back before when. He was promised once we fell into sin." And so throughout the Old Testament, the prophets keep reminding us, "The Savior's coming, the Savior's coming, the Savior's coming." And finally he arrives and he's here. And what are we to do now? He's here. We are to do now, we are to go into all the world and preach the gospel. Now you may think that everyone you know knows it. Are you sure? Because we're going to find out when the end comes. If you know it, great. If you don't, you're going to go down to the devil. And so, it is the duty of we who know to tell other people. We don't know if they know or not. You can't tell by talking to them. Everyone today knows of Christ. When I was a school teacher, we used to put scripture on the door to remind people of that. And when I'm up here preaching and I think they know that, they know that, they know that. But do they know it? Do they know that someday, you know which place? East. Is it that way? I don't know, but Christ is going to come through the clouds of heaven, and the world is going to end. And there'll be no more, well, wait until tomorrow, Lord. I'm going to change tomorrow. No, if you're not ready, you're lost. But he's going to come in glory, which we know. And that's the problem. We know it so much we don't think we have to come back and hear it again. I know that. No, as oft as it is preached, is as oft as we should be in the pew. Because the devil has a big tube of whiteout. And he's just pasting over all of those things. Wipe this out, wipe that out, wipe it out. To make us forget. But God keeps us in mind. Through his Holy Spirit, he works to keep us in the faith now and forever. Now, I haven't given you my long version of the sermon because I thought you'd probably want to be out early. At least that's one thing. Kelly's preaching. It won't be long. Well, it won't be long before Christ comes again. And he's going to judge the quick and the dead. Out of the eastern sky, he's going to appear. What's wrong with the sky today? Christ is coming. That's what's wrong. And he's coming to redeem. He's already redeemed us. He's going to come as vindication of what he has done. And so, with that in mind, we thank God that he is with us, even though we have not been worthy of his coming. But he came, and he sustained, and he will keep us in the true faith now and forever. Don't make me a liar. Amen. Now may the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, keep our hearts and minds in faith unto life everlasting. Amen.